Y'all never have rolled anything like that. You don't know what I'm talking about. And so good for you. You don't need to know either. And all that right there. All right. Take your Bible, if you will, please, tonight. Let me get this button turned on here if I can. Oh, it's on. Ready to go. Here you go. All right. Let's take your Bible to the book of Matthew tonight. Matthew, and we'll be looking at chapter number 5. Matthew chapter 5. It's good to be saved, to know the Lord and a free pardon of sin. It's good to be in the house of God, and Lord, I hope the Lord will bless you for being here, and as much as he blesses my heart, and for letting me be here. All right, chapter number 5 in the book of Matthew, verse 17. Now in the lesson there, he said, "Think not that I've come to destroy the law or the prophets. I have not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you that till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Now whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them," let me say that again, "whosoever shall do and teach them," that's practicing what you're preaching there. "Whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven." Now, Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of the word, and we do thank you for it. How good it is to be once again back here in the house of God. We thank you that thou art God from everlasting to everlasting. Beside thee, there is none else. Save the lost, lift up the downhearted, set the captives free, comfort those that are bereaved tonight. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Thank you, and be seated. I want to preach a sermon here that I preached here 19 years ago. You know, the Bible said that a preacher, that he's too busy to see what's going on, see what's wrong, and then say something about it. Now, it wasn't particularly nothing wrong in our church, but it was a lot of people that were outside of our church, and every time you'd try to witness to them, they'd go ahead and say to us, trying to run us down, "Well, you know what's wrong with y'all? You're majoring on the minor." I can remember, buddy, they'd just try to tear old Brother Rocky's head off about that. Go to witnessing to some of his family and his friends and kinfolk and acquaintances, and oh, they'd get mad when you pull out the word of the Lord that contradict the way they thought and the way they live. And they say, "You just majoring on the minors." So 19 years ago, the Lord gave me this sermon. I hope it'll be some encouragement to you, and that you can remember it up and down the road of life, because you're going to be able to need it. There's a lot of people that are out there that are religious, and they somehow or another feel like they're already like they are by themselves without the need to repent. Psychology's already gotten a hold of them. Somebody said one time, and by the way, you have to be careful about what you're going to spout out, because it's all right as long as nobody knows anything about the Bible. But if you run upon somebody that knows the Bible and you say dumb stuff like, "Well, I don't think you ought to preach something if you already know it's happening." I got a couple of chuckles out of that. The reason why that I throw that off like water off a duck's back is because the Bible said in 1 Corinthians chapter number 1, about verse number 11, it's been reported by the house of Chloe. He not only preached on buddy what they told him, and he made it pointed and said, "Hey, you want to try to deny this and that and all that? House of Chloe's one that told me." I gotta say to you that whenever you begin to look into that, you'll find that he that is spiritual judgeth all things, and yet himself is not to be judged, because he's trying to judge by the word of the Lord. You ever hear this right here? Somebody will say, "Well, judge not, lest you be judged." The Bible said that whosoever is spiritual judgeth all things by the word of the Lord. And the Bible teaches that a person that's unsaved is not able to discern that which is right and wrong in the sight of God, because they're spiritually discerned. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1 and chapter number 2, somewhere along in there. I mean, I'm not a computer, and I get... But I mark it down. It's right there pretty close. In this Bible lesson that we're looking at here, you're going to find out that when we begin to see that, there's a lot of people that are out there, and somehow or another, they'll make a dumb statement, and they'll say something like this right here. And they'll say, "Well, you know, that was for the Jew under the Old Testament." or that was under the law and I'm not under the law. The question has just been asked, and you might want to mark it down so you can ask them, which one of God's laws do you feel like is the least? Because in this Bible passage that we've just read, he says that not one jot nor tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. God's got his eyes on it. God's got his ear open to it. I'm sure that it didn't catch. I'm going to say that, but when you get to heaven, you'll never find the Lord sitting down somewhere hitting his head, and I'll be jigger, I didn't see that coming. You're not going to see that. You and I are going to be able to realize and recognize is that what we've read, they that do the will of God, I'll be by the word of God. Now, in this lesson that we're looking at, let me say to you, is that you're going to find out there are those who like to tamper with the word or try to eliminate especially that part that gets on them. And by the way, you know, we're all made of subject of like passion. But as a result of that, they ignore the word of the Lord because of the fact they're really ignorant about what God said. Now, look in your Bible to the book of Psalm. There's a passage over there, if I can remember where it's at. And over there in the book of Psalm, I believe it's in chapter number 119, verse number 126. Now, in the passage there in the book of Psalm, listen carefully to what he says. As a result, he said, it is time for thee, O Lord, to work, for they've made void thy law. That's in people there whenever they got preached and heard the preaching of the word. That's under the law. I'm not listening to that. Therefore, I love thee, and I love thy commandments above gold, and yea, above fine silver, or rather above gold, above fine gold. And therefore, I esteem thy precepts concerning the things to be right, and I hate every false way. So the next time somebody's telling you about majoring on the minors, ask them, which part of God's word do you consider to be minor? As a result of that, you're going to find out the Bible said that man, Matthew chapter 4 and about verse number 4, you ain't got to turn there. Luke chapter 4 and about verse number 4, you ain't got to turn there either. But the Bible teaches that over there that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Some of the newer versions, while you turn to Deuteronomy chapter number 8, some of the newer versions that are on the market say, well, now you know the concept is still there in the new version. The Bible doesn't say that man's to live by every concept, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And let me say to you, that's a very vital thing and a very vital subject with God. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 1. He said, all the commandments which I commanded thee this day shall ye observe to do that ye may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. And thou shalt remember all the way that the Lord thy God led thee for these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee and to prove thee to know what is in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. And then he says, and he humbled thee, and he suffered thee to hunger, and he fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee to know that man doeth not live by bread only, but by every word. You see that word there is italicized. In the Old Testament, that's an italicized word. It means that the, translator added that in there to make more sense of it. But when Jesus quoted that over there in the book of Luke, chapter number 4, verse number 4, you'll find it's not italicized. When Jesus quoted that in Matthew 4, 4, it's not italicized. See that? And so as a result of that, let me tell you, God don't miss a lick with this stuff. In this Bible lesson, you're going to find out is that there's a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. I began to think about, you know, everybody here tonight, we've all got family, we've all got friends. And I don't want to be ugly about it because I want you to be burdened about it. But some of us have got some kin folks that are dear to our heart. Now, I've got some kin folks that could care less one way or the other if I lived or died. But I'm concerned about their well-being and about their soul and when they die, where they're going. So all these years preaching the word of the Lord, I have some respectability with them because of the fact we've stayed by the stuff all this time. But I got to tell you something. Stop and think about it. If your mama's not saved, she's going to hell when she dies. If your daddy's not saved, she's going to hell. Your brothers and sisters are not saved, they're going to hell when they die. That's the reason Jesus Christ came and died on the cross, bowed his head, said it's finished, gave up the ghost, and then was resurrected the third day according to the scripture, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You know, in the day and hour that we're living in, you're going to find out people that are not interested in the house of God and the word of God or having any responsibility before the Lord. They absolutely consider what we're doing is that we're majoring on something that's minor to them. I got to tell you, the word of the Lord's a major book. You're not going to find anybody that's going to be able to refute it. There's been many that have tried and failed. You're going to find that when you begin to look into this Bible is that the Lord Jesus Christ said that the very least commandment is not going to fade or fall from the law until heaven and earth shall pass away. In this Bible lesson that we're looking at, let me say to you, over there in the book of Matthew in chapter number 5, we'll turn back there if you like, and in the book of Matthew in chapter number 5, there's a passage there that we ought to look at in about verse number 18. He said, not one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Now, do you know what that means? That means that the jot is the 10th letter of the Hebrew alphabet, and it's a very small part of anything, very small part. It's important to God. And he said, not one jot's going to pass from it. Not one tittle, the apex of the Hebrew letter, and you'll find out the least particle of that Hebrew letter. You're going to find out the smallest letter that can be given in the Greek alphabet. You'll find the 9th letter is of the Greek alphabet, and it's a very small particle, and yet God said, not till heaven and earth pass, not one jot, not one tittle. Make no mistake about it, this word's important to the Lord. Now, over there in the book of the 2 John, you can turn there if you like, 2 John. Not St. John, but 2 John. In the book of 2 John there, you're going to be able to find 2 John chapter, well, it's only one chapter. And notice, if you will, please, in verse number 10. He said, if there come any unto you that bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, and neither bid him Godspeed, for he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deed. In other words, this is the doctrine that he's talking about, the doctrine of Christ. And let me say to you that, if you will, that when, you know, it's a little bit hard. You may have already, somebody come up heresy like Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormons, alias morons. And they may come up there and try to peddle their false doctrine to you. And Scientology, I got a big old thing, packet about this tall, about that wide for Scientology. And they ask the question, you know, is the Scientology of God and is it for man? Scientology is not for God, from God. It's from hell, and make no mistake about it, you follow that route and route, even though all of Hollywood's gone nuts after it, but they'll bust hell wide open. The Pope right now, he's 88 years old, and he's up there, and they're worried about him because he's got pneumonia. Now, I got to tell you right now, that just shows you the power of the devil. And the reason being is, what kind of people in their right mind would follow somebody dressed up like a clown with a big old pointed looking hat on and a robe? You see? The Roman Catholic Church, if you mention it by name, that's taboo. In this Bible lesson in 2 John, the Bible says in the chapter that we're looking at, is that if somebody come to your house and bring another doctrine, you're not to put your approval upon them. You're not to somehow or another even, you ought not even let them in, he said. And he says in verse number 11, verse 10, but if they're coming to you, bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, and neither bid him Godspeed, for he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. Now, you know, the only people that I've ever seen do it was these Jehovah's Witnesses. They're not a witness for Jehovah. In fact, is they're Satan's salesman, no doubt about that. But they're the only people, you know, that whenever they turn around and leave, they shake off the dust. They're against you.
and because you've not received their damnable doctrine. Did you know anybody that doesn't believe that Jesus Christ is God incarnate in human flesh is of the devil? That's the Bible teaching. And in the lesson that we're looking at, you're going to find out, God said that if somebody brings you a different doctrine, and you're not to bid him Godspeed, not to let him in your house, neither should you bid him Godspeed. I remember one time, you know, as a young Christian, I used to think, you know, I'm going to argue with this dude until he finds out that at least I know something about arguing. I've argued with one old boy that was pretty sharp, sharpest one I ever seen in the JWs, you know. And as a result of that, I couldn't shake him except on one subject. They don't believe in the resurrected Lord and Savior. They believe that Jesus, if he resurrected, that he only did it in the spirit. And I showed him over there in the book of Luke, whenever the Lord Jesus said, "Handle me and see that it's I myself. A spirit hath not flesh and bone as you see me have." I want to say to you, that shook him. It didn't do any good, and it wasted 4 hours of my time, but nonetheless, if he doesn't get saved between now and then, he'll have a hotter place in hell for having rejected just clear-cut given truth from the word of the Lord. Now, in this lesson that we're looking at, let me say to you, make no mistake about it, you're going to find out that in the day and hour that we're living in, there's a whole bunch and a whole ton of people out there that just are not interested in the truth of God. In 2 John that we're looking at, look in verse number 1. "The elder elect lady and to her children whom I love in the truth." There's the word truth there. Verse 2, "For the truth's sake," there it is again. Verse 3, he said, "Grace be unto you and mercy and peace from God the Father and the Lord and the Son of the Father in truth." Look at that. And then in verse number 4, "I rejoice greatly that I found thy children walking in truth." I'm going to tell you, Jesus said, you'll know the truth and the truth shall make you free. In the lesson that we're looking at here, you'll find is that you're going to have to look to yourself and to make sure that you absorb the word of the Lord, absorb the truth of God into your heart. I not only pray for our children, but our grandchildren. Lord, help them absorb the word like a sponge. And may they hide it in their heart that they not sin against God, that they might teach transgressors the ways of the Lord. Now, I got to say to you, is that while you and I are partakers of the Lord and Savior, you're going to find out is that we ought to simply recognize and know that He is God, and besides Him, there is none else. And I got to tell you right now, is that when you and I got saved by the grace of God, He separated us from the rest of the world. Now, I can tell you right now, if you can sit around with people smoking dope, drinking liquor, lying, cheating, conniving, living loose, committing adultery, fornication. If that's the crowd you're running with, you need to get saved. See? I'm just saying to you very simply, I don't mean to be ugly about it, but I do mean it. I know it's going to sound ugly, but make no mistake about it, is that God is looking at what we're believing, who we're running with, and why we're doing it. In this Bible lesson here that we're looking at, let me say to you, is that it's good to be able to guard your head and to be able to guard your heart. And now here we find to guard your house. And if you do that, I can promise you what you'll do is God's a separator, if you've known throughout the Bible. When God saves you, what does He do? He separates you from the rest of the world, the flesh, the devil. There's a warfare going on since the day you and I got saved. It's a warfare against Satan and the Spirit of God who lives on the inside of us. Now, I got to tell you, God's always been a separator. He's never been a mixer. See? In the day we live in, I've had many a person that have told me, you know, preacher, here's what I don't like about you and your church. You're just not ecumenical enough. I don't want to be ecumenical at all. I'm not interested in making the Methodists feel good about themselves like they are. I'm not interested in making people of other doctrines and other religions. I'm not interested in making them feel good about themselves like they are without the need to repent. I'm interested in showing them the way, the truth, and the life. I can't tell you how many people that I know are just as lost and undone without God that are members in our family. And yet when somebody dies, they always get a little humble, you know. It always disturbs them, and naturally that it would. And that most of the time I try to say, hey, you know, this could have been you. And here's what they're always saying. Oh, don't you worry about me, none. That's the same thing that deceased person used to say when they were alive. The most honest person that I ever knew was my uncle. I've told you about him days gone by. And he called me Knucklehead, for short for knucklehead, you know. But anyhow, when I got saved, surrendered to preach and this and that, and he heard me at a time or two in his life. But before he died, he told me, Knuckles, when I leave this world, don't try to paint a picture to where I went up there, because that's not where I'm going to be, and I know it. And I said, well, Uncle, that's sad. That's sad that you know that. But you see, he was contented to live like that and to die like that. He used to take a can of beer and he could suck it down quicker than you could say, don't do it. I mean, of course, naturally, if he drove up to the house or something like that to try to get a little bit of fix, he'd try to squeeze that can and suck it. I've seen him, man, just down two or three of them in a hurry. And then get out of the car and throw it up. And it looked like he was puking up twice what he consumed down. Now, I got to tell you something right now. We live in a world of Baptist-minded people that are involved in that. See that? And I don't know about you, but I'm glad that I'm saying, do I dislike those people? Not on your life. Not on your life. But somebody has got to show them the difference between being religious and being saved. And you and I are the only ones can do that. Let's stand to our feet. Our heads are bowed. Next time somebody tells you about majoring on the minors, everything God said is major. And you'll do well to remember that and to believe that and to receive that into your heart. Now, Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of the word tonight, these that have gathered together. We pray now that you help us as we get ready to go to our homes. We pray that you'd help us this week with our lip and life to exalt and magnify the name of Christ. Thank you for these that have gathered here on this fine day. Save the lost, lift up the downhearted, set the captives free. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.